The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV is all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Hey, man.
You like the producer number nine thing or not so much?
Yeah. What do you mean? It's hilarious how many producers you've had.
They all go on to bigger and better things. Don't you go, Kelly Bidlin.
Most of them.
Who didn't? Oh, yeah. What? Okay, never mind. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Anthony A. Perillo, Iga Alcatraz parlay plus 760, he said. Southern Capper. Iga, available for even money, BetMGM Tennessee. Hey, Kelly, remember that time other VSiN host went on Twitter and bashed me for calling Iga, said she's going to win double-digit slams and be the greatest player of all time? Yeah, that's funny now, isn't it? Jack in a Prius 2.0. Boy, he really doesn't like Lamar. He's coming back. For whichever team Lamar goes, I will give you 10-1 on them to not win their conference. He's very angry about it. He's very angry about Lamar. And on Jason H11, who says, you know, he snowed in today. By the way, where are you, Jason H11? Like, that's a lot of snow.
Yeah.
So he's, like, super happy, gets to stay in and listen to a numbers game. He just came back with this tweet, Kelly. He says, downside to being home today is I just loaded up on a bunch of women's college hoops. That's great. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, you got plenty to bet on today, Jason. You got tennis from Gil and Drew. Now you got women's college basketball for later in the week.
Coach Brian says he was looking for at a global shop that he frequents to find Vatek at 41. He says they weren't even on the list. He said there were nine other schools at 100-1. I don't know what to say about that. All right, Kelly, you know what we didn't do? Because it was all March Madness yesterday. Is we didn't grade. Kelly and I did this thing on, I guess it was Friday. So we still had the weekend of college conference tournaments where we picked our winner for all of the remaining college conference tournaments that hadn't been decided yet. And I think, and the prize was the loser would have to give the crew, not would have to, but would be the guy who would give the crew a $100 future on whoever they wanted to win March Madness. I believe you crushed me. Did you not?
You got smoked, son.
Smoked.
You got smoked, son. Yeah, we were both wrong on Houston, both right
Memphis
on Duke.
Beat them.
Vermont was just so obvious.
Easy peasy.
I mean, that was easy.
BCU.
Right? VCU.
Yeah.
So Big 12.
You went Texas. I went Kansas. Ah, you got me there. We both were wrong on UConn.
Those Big East teams are good, though. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to be surprised we see some Big East teams make runs here.
You went Purdue. I went Northwestern. Ah, we were both wrong on both of our teams at the Big West. I went Irvine. You went Riverside.
You picked the wrong California schools.
Yeah. We both went FAU. Okay. You're up two at this point. Then what happens? Is there more? There's more, right?
Yeah, we got one more sheet.
We both were wrong on Yale. We both were right on Iona. You had Kent State. I had Toledo. Ah, down three. I had Howard, baby. Bison. I'm back in, and I'm only down two. Oh, no, I'm not. You had San Diego State. I had Boise State, so you're back up three. You had Arizona. I had UCLA. You're up four, and that's where it ends, because we both had Alabama. That was right. We both had Grambling. We both were wrong in the whack.
Not like our consensus Grambling guys.
So what is that? That's like... You are four games better than me in about 14 or 15 conferences. Well done. So now who does the crew want to bet?
I don't know. We'll have to get that figured out. They got what? They've got till Thursday.
100 United States dollars for the crew.
We got to put a time on them. They got to make the bet before tip-off of the first game on Thursday.
Well, yes, that's how this should work. Yes.
No, but I'm just. Yeah. So
if they don't, like, I keep
$100. I don't want to hear like I'm waiting till the final four or something where we're going to use that ticket.
How many crew members are we talking that would split this?
I'll have to figure that out. It's going to be. I want to include everybody, so it's going to be close to 10.
Should we do more than $100 then?
Hey, you lost, buddy. Whatever you want to.
Yeah, let's do more. Let's double that. Let's just double that. Let's make it double. At the very least, let's make it double. Let's make it $200 for the whole crew, since they got to split it so many ways.
Okay, are they allowed to do multiple teams or just one ticket?
They're allowed to do whatever they want with it.
Okay.
Yeah. But they should keep in mind they're splitting it, so it's like...
I don't even want that. I want a fun ticket. Yeah, I don't want trying to think of like a minus 300, like, you know, to win the first two rounds or something.
I mean,
like
in the end, it's going to be like, hey, we won a $50 ticket on, you know, it's like, good
all
for
right,
you guys.
Chop that 10
ways. Right. So maybe we'll even go more than double.
Yeah, I say we'll figure it out. They'll
I'll figure it out. All right. So
I mean, Sean's involved. He's probably UNLV women's ticket to win it all.
Sean's like, give me UNLV women's after hearing that last segment. And real quick with the Indian Wells futures again, that really is like exactly what Drew and I were talking about is really the only way to go. And I said that, I said it before we went to break. Iga and Carlos Alcaraz in person, like you watch them play, you're like, oh, this is a whole nother level. As great as you already know they are, it's just that much more. So look, could either of them lose? Could both of them lose? Sure they could. But does Iga at minus 105 still represent value? Again, she was minus 2,000 last night against Bianca Andreescu. She's minus 1,250 today against Emma Raducanu. You don't have to believe me. Believe the betting market.
This is
her surface.
I'm going to pepper you with a couple questions of these. Is Pegula, is this the surface or current form where I guess she's the only one that kind of jumps out to me at that long of a number?
Listen, she's a great player. She's 9-1. You know, Sabalenka and Krejcikova play each other today. Most people would feel like the winner of that is the biggest competition on this particular surface. And Sabalenka is looking to avenge her only loss of the season against Krejcikova today. She's a bit of a favorite. I think she's like minus 165 in that range. So Sabalenka is appropriately priced as the second short shot. Coco Gauff is having a great season, but no one really feels like she can win a title match against Iga at this point, certainly not on this surface. If this were grass, Elena Rybakina would be higher, would be shorter than plus 750. But again, it comes down to this is the Sunshine Double. Indian Wells, the slowest hard court there is, followed by Miami, and then into clay season. So this is her time of year where she just rolls.
Does Coco just continue to get better?
Like, yes.
Is she really just still getting better and better every time?
She does. As Dan Weston would say, she outperformed her numbers for a very long time. The numbers have caught up with her. She's a solid, solid top 10 player at this point in women's tennis. Will she win a slam this year? I still don't think so.
Yeah.
But she'll get there. She's young. But Iga's 21, and she's won 12 titles and 3 slams. Like, we're talking about one of the greats.
That is insane.
Yeah. And then there's Carlos Alcaraz, who as soon as Djokovic moves over, and there still will always be Medvedev, but this is his realm now. Like, he's the guy.
So does he look completely healthy to you now? Like, that was the one concern, right?
It's always a concern. And he pushed it in the clay season down there in South America, and he got hurt, and Cam Norrie beat him in the finals of the last clay tournament. He looks okay. He is flying out there on the court, and he is just hitting the ball so well. So he's still the play to me, although Medvedev's always there, so you never know. But those are absolutely the plays there. The other thing is, what did you want to wanted to bring up my college basketball tourney picks again? Did you want to do those?
Yeah, we can hit those one more
time. Did you put in your three, Kelly? Were you asked to do three?
Oh, yeah, I put in. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, did you want to talk about them?
I actually bet a few, but yeah, this is first round bets that I made. And a lot of them I was just sitting there as Selection Sunday was going. A lot of them I kind of knew where the numbers would move to. So, like, I grabbed Auburn plus 1.5 when that opened. I think that's kind of jumped the fence right and gone to the other side now. Utah State, I laid 1.5 with them. I believe that number is still current. Arkansas, this is where my NBA mind gets in the way, right? It's like Arkansas has two guys that are supposed to go in the lottery of the NBA draft this upcoming season. I know there's been injuries and stuff with them throughout the year.
The old lottery angle.
But I'm like, what? Like, you got two guys that are going to be top 10, top 15 picks in the NBA? And like, you're like, come on, man. I'm going to lay 2.5.
I love that angle because I can present to you so many teams in college basketball. Here are the Mutombo Morning Georgetown Hoyas, right?
Exactly.
Here's the Sprewell Horry Alabama Crimson Tide.
Like, I fall into this trap every year. I mean, I put in a futures bet on Alabama because, like, Brandon Miller, I'm obsessed with. We're going to talk about it a bit tomorrow, but I think there's a chance Brandon Miller, and I'd like to hear more from other college basketball people on this, but I think there's a chance that he overtakes Scoot Henderson for that number 2 pick in the NBA draft. I think with what he shooting 40%, a 6'9" wing player, what he's done in college, go look at what Scoot Henderson's done kind of statistically this year. I think there's a chance, and there's markets up for that now.
People like size.
San Diego State, I laid 4 on the opener. I believe that's past 5 now.
It is.
UConn, I laid the 9 with UConn.
Look at you.
That was a little bit. That was a little bit of. Was that Matt was talking high on that one yesterday too, right? So I jumped on board of that one, and then Creighton, I laid 4 with.
Humans, I'm assuming when you say Matt.
No, Matt Cox.
Matt Cox.
He was talking UConn yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I, if you missed it earlier, I am on. West Virginia against Maryland. I'm on Northwestern against Boise State, both really short lines. And I am on Tennessee laying the wood against Louisiana. Real quick, because we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I also talked with Drew about division winners and, hey, is there a play on the Sixers at 4-1 to win the Atlantic? Is there a play on the Warriors at 18-1 as a long-shot flyer still with a shot here to overcome the Kings, 5 back in the loss column there in the Pacific Division? What about the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat? Is there a play on the Hawks are what, +550 to win that division?
Yeah.
And how far back are they? They're only like a couple games back, right?
Look, I got a couple bets on them right now to win that division. The problem is they're 2.5 back.
Two and a half back, yeah.
The problem is, Gil, both those teams suck.
That's the problem.
It's an issue. Since Quinn Snyder's came in, the Atlanta offense has gotten better, which, that should have been the case all season long. But to nobody's surprise, the defense has taken a step back, which you kind of knew was going to be an issue the whole time. This Miami team, though, I think they are a great bet against almost on a nightly basis. I think the market is off by a couple points on this Miami Heat team. They are very overrated.
Remember that guy we saw who had the Southeast Division baseball cap? I thought, this is the most random sports hat you could ever have. Southeast Division, baby. Heat, Hawks, Wizards, Magic, Hornets.
I like the Sixers angle, though. That's probably my favorite of the ones you brought up.
Catch the fever. Coming back, Ed Feng, how you can maximize profits in your brackets next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team's here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our big dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger, like Greg Hoops Peterson, like Adam Burke, like Matt Humans, like Will Hill. I go on. Sign up today, like Wes Reynolds. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, a couple clarifications. One, the Kings are 6 games ahead in the loss column of both the Warriors, ahead of both the Warriors and the Clippers, with, a little more than double that to go in terms of games, but they've got the 4-game road swing. Not exactly a murderer's row, but a 4-game road swing is a 4-game road swing. And so the Warriors playing with an edge, too. Let me just say I am thrilled to have that Western Conference ticket in pocket. Clay's
playing out of his mind right now.
I've said this many times on the show before. As great as Steph Curry is, and he's the greatest shooter of all time, but does anybody get as hot in the moment as Klay Thompson does? 33 in the first half yesterday.
Pretty sure I thought I favorited the tweet, maybe not. Over 40%, I believe, is what he's shooting from 3 since the All-Star break.
Remember, people were like, oh, will he ever come back to where he was? Steph jawing with Chris Paul. This ain't 2014 anymore. Talking about being muscled. Love it. Steph on Saturday night, 16 points with 2 minutes left in that game against the Bucks, ended up with 36. They're the most beautiful thing in sports. The other thing I want to point out, Chris Felico texted in. He says, you should have to give $100 for every game that Kelly beat you by. I accept. $400 for the crew.
Whoa!
Kelly. $400 futures bet for the crew. Because they got to split it so many ways, man.
Yeah, I should have just done what I did the other night. Just go throw it all on red. Then you got $800 to play with. How mad would you be?
Don't listen to Kelly. Please don't listen to Kelly. Ed Feng, ladies and gentlemen, one of our great friends for so many years. Another guy that we met in person for the first time at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT so many years ago. He runs a site called The Power Rank, and he's been talking about, has put out I guess it started out as a pamphlet back in the day of how to win your NCAA pool. He joins us now for his annual appearance. Ed Feng, everybody. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Gil. Thanks so much for having me on.
Great to see you. Also the host of the Football Analytics Show podcast. How's that going through the years?
It has been going pretty well. I think it's taken a bunch of kind of twists and turns. But, Gil, honestly, the most important part of the podcast is that I get to talk to people like you. And, yeah, it's just an honor to kind of connect with people that way.
I feel that way about my pod, too. It's been a pleasure just networking with people and getting to know folks and the different ways that people approach betting sports. So let's talk NCAA pools. There's a lot of people who are listening. As much as we get sort of immersed in the betting of it, we just have to recognize that 90% of people are still out there who are like, I just want to win my brackets. And sometimes it's a small office. Sometimes it's a massive place. I guess that's where you start with your tenets of how to win your pool.
Absolutely. The first thing you really should know is it really depends on how big your pool is. Your odds to win decrease with every additional person. And just think about it, right? Like with every additional person, you just put yourself at risk for someone getting super lucky. Someone getting super lucky and, you know, like picking Loyola of Chicago in 2018 to make the Final Four, which they ended up doing. So you want to get into as small a pool as possible. I know sometimes you don't have control over that, and we'll talk about kind of the contrarian strategies you need to win intermediate-sized pools. But usually, try to get into small as pool as possible. Sometimes that means getting into the pool with the higher entry fee. That can often kind of reduce the pool size, and that's a thing that works in your favor.
But what about people out there who are like, yeah, okay, that's great. I understand. I'm probably more likely to win that. But, yeah, what you just said about intermediate size and even large size, like that really floats my boat. What would you say to those people that their strategy ought to be generally?
Yeah, I would say two things. First, don't expect to win every year. And second, you need to take more risks. And we can talk about that. You know, the choice of champion is your most important choice. And you want to take some risks there. You're not going to be picking one of the favorites to win there. You need to kind of differentiate yourself.
Would this be a year, though? No, your rules is obviously the first tenet, which is if you're in an upset rewarded pool, if you're not in an upset rewarded pool, you got to know that because you're going to be incentivized in the upset rewarded pool to take more shots at 12s and 13s and 14 seeds. But in a year like this, where there is no consensus favorite, right? This is not Georgetown in 1984. This is a year where, you know, it's just really sort of, a wide field where many people are going to have many teams. Would you say that this is a favorable year to get in one? Because you don't have to go that far off the grid, right? It's kind of reasonable, whatever you pick.
I think so. I think it's a good year to get into pools. I also think it's a good year to submit more than one bracket. For example, you know, I kind of think of Alabama and Houston as your co-favorites this year. When I think about their probabilities and I add them together to win the tournament, it's less than I had Gonzaga last year. It's less than I had Duke in 2019 with that super dominant team with Zion Williamson. So, yes, it is wide open. I expect to see some craziness. It's a tournament where you do want to get in. I do think there's value, but you also might want to submit multiple entries as well, which most people do.
Let's do it the other way. Let's reverse this. What's the worst advice you hear bandied about pools?
12 over 5 seeds.
Clearly, right? Isn't that the one?
I love making fun of the 12 over 5s. You know, there was a stretch where, you know, I think 12s won more often than 11s or something like that. But that's not true when you look at the data since the tournament expanded to 64 teams, it's very monotonic in terms of, you know, 11s win more than 12s and 12s win more than 13s and 13s win more than 14s. There's nothing special about a 12 seed. And in what I found in my research, you know, when you calculate win probabilities for your tournament, and that's really the thing that I've done in my book. I've tried to quantify like how these different strategies affect your win probability. There's literally no effect for those first round games, even with upset weighted point games. Like it's not really worth thinking about, especially if it's only worth a single point. You should focus on your choice of champion, and that's what I try to do for members of the Power Rank.
By the way, I alluded to the book at the outset, but what is the title and where can one get it?
Absolutely. It's called How to Win Your NCAA Tournament Pool. It is now available for free, Gil. You just have to go to thepowerrank.com, sign up for my free email newsletter. And once you sign up, you'll be able to download the PDF for free. Obviously, we're sitting here Tuesday. Brackets are due Thursday. You probably believe that analytics work if you're listening to Gil and his radio show. I've talked about small pool size. So just dig in with chapter three. That's when we get into the contrarian strategies that you need.
So let me ask you this, and this is where I sort of jump over into the personal. What did you already fill out your bracket?
I have not. I will. Actually, this is the year that I'm going to make my children do it, Gil. There's a neighborhood pool, so
yeah. I'm
going to find some kind of time, either tonight or tomorrow night, and I'm going to make them. I mean, it won't be making one of them, but yeah, I'm going to. You know, it's just they're Americans.
They can
do it.
How old are your kids? Just to clarify, Ed, that you're making. Let's establish this. You are making them do a college basketball pool. You're starting them early. How old are they?
I am decreeing as a father.
Yes.
They are 14 and 11. The 11-year-old, I won't have a problem. 14-year-old.
Really? The 14.
Yeah, it's all right.
I should point this out to people. Ed's 14-year-old will be the king of the world. He is an extremely talented young man, but he has no interest. He has no interest in filling out a bracket. He's no interest in sports.
He has little interest in sports. He's a musical theater guy now, Gil.
Yeah, I know.
So he's been doing that, and that's been very exciting. But yeah, less interest in sports.
Okay. Have you ever done survivor pools just randomly? Have you ever done that for the NCAA tournament?
I have done one. I don't think I've ever tried to quantify it. I think it's one of those things where you end up at the bar on Thursday morning and someone's like, hey, let's do a survivor pool.
Let me just
and
say this.
You say, great.
My plea to you, Ed Fang from the Power Ring. And Ed, by the way, is a PhD from Stanford. So if anybody can do this, it's Ed Fang. We won't get into what the PhD and what the thesis was because that gets into a whole other room. Could you read the title of your thesis? Because I just want people to know this.
It's actually right here. Kinetic theories for lattice models of liquids and polymers.
Got that, Kelly?
Aced that.
Kinetic theories, something about liquids and polymers.
I love polymers. We hang out all the time.
There was a lot of math. Which has been good for sports.
It has been good for sports. Could you, for next year or years after, this is my plea to you, could you try to do a whole thing on survivor pools? Because I find it chess to brackets checkers. And I just feel it is the most fascinating thing in the world. I love doing it. I'm about to join one again this year. It's the greatest thing ever. That's my plea.
That sounds good, man. Love to come back and talk about that next year.
Liquids, polymers, and survivor pools with Ed Fang from the Power Rank. Thank you, Ed. Great seeing you, man.
Thank you so much, Gil.
Ed Fang at the Power Rank, by the way, on Twitter. Got to put the V in there. Kicking it with Christy Andrews. Next, we'll find out which of the March Madness games have moved the most in the market here at the South Point. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split match.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. The crew, Kelly, very thrilled that I lost in our conference tournament contest because now it's up to $400. Had you lost, what do you think it would be? $100?
$89 and the 37 cents in change that I have in my pocket right now.
Would have gone down.
Not even true. You know what I figured out like 2 weeks ago?
Hmm.
Isaiah Ringel, smart guy, director of this show, okay? So, like, we can always be better. The crew does so much work for this show. But very, very often, you know, we'll buy pizza or I'll throw money for whatever. Well, I figured out that he's been, and I'm not knocking this at all, but he's been hoarding the change. So, like, there was something like a couple weeks ago we were going to go buy. I'm like, I don't have any cash on me right now. Isaiah's like, oh, no. I got money from you. You're covered. And he busts out cash from this little hiding spot downstairs, by the way. He busts out all this money. I'm like, where'd all this come from? He's like, oh, it's just leftovers from stuff you gave me in the past.
It's like a office space move on Isaiah's part, except more brazen.
I was impressed by it. I was like, wait, this is all my money you've just saved over there?
Yeah,
right,
do you have the TPS reports, Isaiah, down there? this is not breaking news. This is like forced reporting of something that sounds breaking but isn't. Kelly, could you explain?
Adam Schefter tweet just coming down a few minutes ago. With the Jets closing in on a deal for wide receiver Alan Lazard, another wide receiver expected to be on their radar in the coming days of free agency is Packers veteran Randall Cobb, per league sources.
Are the Jets joking? Soon they will be making moves for Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson,
James Jones,
Donald Driver.
Donald Driver.
It's going to be awesome. Enjoy, Jets. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, kicking it with Chrissy Andrews. No musical intro today.
Next week.
Sorry. You're a man who deserves a musical intro. Yeah.
You get to pick it, or is Kelly picking?
Oh, no. You do. You most certainly do not get to pick
it. Oh, really?
As I learned very much myself. They don't consult me either. Okay. They just do their thing. We leave it to them. But I'm very excited for it because I got a sneak preview, and it's very exciting. Oh, okay. Yeah, they
looking
did a great job. Kev did a great job as well.
He really did, yeah. He ended up all the audio. Rob Moreno's going to throw some video on it. Great open. We're really excited about it.
You listened to Ed Fang here on your way in. Ed Fang telling us about his PhD, his thesis that he did on liquids and polymers. What was your thesis at Robert Morris?
I looked into polymers, too. They're way different than Ed's. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
So his brain is bigger than all of ours.
I know. I've been fortunate to do his podcast twice, I think.
Yeah, he's great.
I really like him a lot. And I like dealing with really smart guys, and Ed is a really smart guy.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
And a good guy, too, by the way.
And, like I said, a child that is going to rule the world.
I told you off the air, Gil, one of the good great pleasures of producing this show for me has been some of, guys like Ed Fang that I've followed on Twitter for 10-plus years, us getting to have him on as a guest and stuff like that. That's really been cool over these past 6-7 months. And I believe, Chrissy, we do have we do have video of, I'm sure, the song you would prefer and the open that you would prefer. Isaiah, you can go ahead and fire that up because I think something caught you. So this would be the go-to for you.
Look at you with all those moves, Chrissy.
Do you remember this, Gil? I don't even remember what this was. 3 months ago?
I sent this to Chrissy.
Looks like my hairline, but that is not me.
You are champ. You love the Jackson 5. Look at
you.
Oh,
my God. No, that would definitely not be.
That guy looks just like you.
Stop.
From that angle.
Oh, I'm so proud.
Oh, he is loving this. Chrissy Andrews,
kicking it off. Get that off. I don't want anybody confusing that with the actual me.
The actual me. Okay.
The guy spins around and is so clearly not Chris Andrews at all.
He loved his jacket.
If you saw me at Herman's Hermits.
Oh, that would be you.
Maybe not that me, but I did enjoy myself.
March Madness on Thursday. You ready for the throng, the folks that are going to show? What do you expect here at the South Point? Like just more than a Super Bowl in terms of day one, or just over the course of the first 4 days?
Oh, over the course, it's not even close. Yeah. First day, probably a little less than the Super Bowl. I think Friday might be about the same as the Super Bowl. Yeah, because it takes a day. Because right now, and we've advertised the hell out of it, but it's still word of mouth. We have the big exhibit hall, seats like 2,500 people. Great venue that we put together this year. We've just been bursting out of the other venues that we've used, so we decided to go all the way this year. But I think we really did a good job with TV coverage. Bars and food and seating and et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes, when I think they see some of the other things in town, they're going to say, oh, wow, I can go, for free. It's free.
Yeah.
And, of course, the beers are pretty cheap. The food's pretty cheap. I think it'll be a tremendous experience. By the way, we're going to have 10 ticket writers up there and 6 kiosks and somebody signing up for the phone app if you want to do that. So, we are really taking care of that room. And, of course, we'll have this, the sports book. Probably still do more business down here, we're going all out, and I think it's going to be a terrific event for us this year. It's always been terrific since I've been here, but this will be even better.
Because the strip is getting pricey and pricier by the year, for sure, in terms of everything, including seating itself.
Yeah, well, here it's free. First come, first serve, So
there's a Wishnev section and then the other section as well.
No, there's not. Let's not put out false information.
No, I'm kidding.
The polymer stuff was bad enough. Now let's not go there.
Is there a college basketball team that if they win the title, you lose on to any degree that concerns you?
Pitt. We lose a little bit on Pitt.
Pitt.
I got kind of surprised by Pitt. We get a lot of Pittsburgh people in this place, you know. And Pitt came from, you know, they were dead, maybe 6-8 weeks ago. And I think I had them like 500-1 or something like that. It doesn't take too many bets to get at that price.
I'm going to say you're safe on that.
I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure they get past that first game, which is it tonight or tomorrow night?
Pitt, which one is Pitt?
Pitt's tonight.
It's Pitt's tonight. Two tonight, two tomorrow night in terms of the first four.
By the way, I've heard guys knock it like, oh, I wouldn't go to Dayton for the. I'd love to go to Dayton for these first 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I would too. Which are the biggest movers here at the South Point in terms of these
biggest
first
round movers? Games? Wow. Okay. I tried to prepare myself for all this, but we've had a couple that have moved pretty good. Tell you what, let me do that after the break. I'll give you a much better and concise answer.
I hate when this segment sneaks up.
Yeah, well, I want to be accurate. I got to tell you. So, you know, we did that thing, and they produced a documentary. We're going to be part of a documentary.
Oh.
It's not to that state. This is like just a test kind of. But they filmed me and Jimmy and Vinny and Tony Sinise putting out the numbers right away. Taking action, you know, 10,000 a rattle at the counter, three dimes on the app, and we had over 20 limit bets like right away. But we put them out quick, and I think the documentary is going to be. This is just the sizzle reel. They're going to make they're using this to maybe sell it to, you know, Apple or Netflix or whoever, you know. But I think when we finally get to the real thing, I think it'll be really good. I really like the production team.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's 10,000 at the counter.
Yeah.
3,000 on the app. And for those, there's going to be a segment of the audience who say, why do you take only 3,000 on the app? That is a decree from up above, correct?
Decree from up above. Michael gone. And like I say, believe me, I disagree with Michael on a lot of things. But Michael's made over a billion better decisions than I have. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, a billion ways to quantify it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I see the numbers in this place, and a lot of what Michael does is just dead on. But that's what he wants. He wants people coming in, and I understand that. And even though
– what is the window into his thinking there?
He wants to create a vibe in the entire casino, and you don't get that on the app. You get that from here. And, you know, you've been here on – I've seen you here on – Tuesday afternoons, you know. I mean, there's just a vibe, and he wants people in the sportsbook. Now, what does the sportsbook mean to the bottom line to a place like this? Not that much.
A fraction.
Yeah. But what does it mean to the overall perception of the casino? And, like I said, the vibe, to overuse a word, is, it really adds a lot of excitement, electricity, and Michael wants that. And like I said, Michael is proven to be right.
That is that sort of economic pie is not specific to the South Point. That is generally, right, that a sports book, for those, again, who are new, a sports book is a sliver of the intake of gaming in general.
Yeah, just look at the gaming figures that are made public every month.
Right. But as you say, we don't have a slot machine network.
Right.
It's the marketing of the sports that brings them on in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you look at the restaurants. You know, I know what the restaurants lose every year, and it's a lot. I don't want to say it on
the air. It's a loss leader.
But, you know, people, when you're out, you know, you say, hey, did you eat it? So, did you eat at Michael's? Did you eat at the Oyster Bar? Did you eat at the steakhouse?
Well,
you know, and you go to some of these other places. I know some that you've mentioned. You know, I mean, that's what you talk about. That's what people talk about. That's what brings them in.
We will come back more with Chris Sanders, kicking it with Chrissy, including the biggest movers in the first round of March Madness. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here. Christy Andrews, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook on the tip of the strip, due south of Mandalay Bay, as we like to say. And by the way, one reminder again, I reminded at the beginning of the show, I'll remind here at the end, which is the Beating the Book College Basketball March Madness podcast. Will Hill, who is currently leading the VEASAN Matt Uvins Invitational College Basketball contest by 2 games, he was on there. Jeff Parlay from New Jersey and Todd Wishnev in studio with me yesterday. We went through every single game of the March Madness first round brackets by just who to advance in the brackets and ATS. If there were ATS perspectives, we also gave out Final Fours. And Todd, who watches more college basketball than everybody, his Final Four was Meshuggah. Again, Beating the Book podcast, as well as Kelly's Hardwood Handicappers, which JVT hosts and allows Kelly to come in. We want to be clear about that, Kelly. He thought you were pushing up on him the other day. You get that sense?
Yeah, I got that. I got sense. Did you see the picture of the Buddhist man?
Oh, yes, I did.
Kelly Bidlin presents Hardwood Handicappers.
That was a little much. And, of course, Kelly does long shots with Matt Brown and Wes Reynolds. Golf twice a week.
That's right. Valspar Championship breakdown today.
From the TPC to Valspar.
That's right.
We'll get to the Masters after March Madness. Chrissy joins us once again. How you doing?
Good.
You got those numbers for us?
I do. I got the biggest movers. Yeah. Let's start with Thursday.
Okay.
Tennessee, we opened 13. We're down to 10.5. I see the game 10.5 and 11. You know, and it was one of those things where we were talking about when we put out the numbers. Kind of thought a lot of people I respect think Tennessee is kind of a phony team. You know, so some money definitely showed on Louisiana.
I got them at -9.5. I thought that got too low.
Well, you got a pretty good number there because, like I said, it's mostly 11. We're 10.5. Because by opening 13, we got a lot of money in Louisiana. The other games on Thursday that have moved quite a bit. Northern Kentucky, a lot of money showed on Northern Kentucky. Well, Houston's missing
Sasser.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't look too good without Sasser the other day. So I don't know. Hmm. You know, big number. They took 21. We're down to 19.5.
Yeah.
Colgate, money showed on them against Texas.
Not surprised by that. Though some people, I think it was Parlay or Will Hill. I think it was Parlay yesterday said, they love Colgate, but they got the worst matchup they could possibly get with Texas.
Yeah, Texas, I mean, again, I hear a lot of people I respect think Texas has a big chance to go all the way.
I got them in the Final Four myself.
Do you? Yeah. I mean, I think they have a real big chance, you know, and I think they showed that the other day against Kansas.
But that's a big number too, right?
Yeah, that's a big number. It's a big number. Yeah, and, you know, so many dogs do show up in this first round against the spread.
Colgate, 40.7% from behind the arc, the best in Division I.
Yeah, well, if they hit those threes, you know, they're going to be a lot of times that could be a big if, though, too.
That's a big if. You live and die with it. But that is, you know, whenever we have Peter Keating on, and he was kind enough to come on this year as well. He used to do Giant Killers at ESPN. Now he does Bracket Busters over at The Athletic. The key characteristics to Giant Killers begins and ends with pace and three-point shooting.
Yeah, I certainly would not disagree with that. But sometimes a team like Colgate maybe hasn't faced a defense.
Correct.
You know, with the athleticism of a Texas.
Yeah.
And that can definitely alter the ability to hit those threes.
For sure.
I mean, if they get the open three, though, I mean, they're going to be tough. But, you know, that, again, a big if. As we go to Friday, some of the other big movers. We opened Miami 1 over Drake. They're up to 2.5.
Yeah.
Not that crazy about Miami.
I'm going to say this, so I'm just doing it anecdotally, but of all the games, that ranks up there in terms of the most differing opinions. Like, I hear a lot of people, Miami's great, they'll go far, and then a lot of people think Drake takes them out.
Yeah, I've been doing some stuff for the last couple of weeks in various places around the country, and a lot of Midwest guys tell me this Drake, you know, there might be a regional bias too, you know, but they're telling me this Drake team is awful tough.
Drake, third appearance in the tournament in 50 years.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be more than that.
There was a guy in the 80s, Lewis Lloyd. Do you remember that name?
Oh, God,
great player
sure.
At Drake.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated had a piece on him and everything.
Yeah, oh, God, I remember Lewis Lloyd, yeah. A couple other ones. Memphis, against Florida Atlantic.
Speaking of different viewpoints.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. I've been watching Florida Atlantic for probably the last 6 weeks, and I've been pretty impressed with that team. Now, when they played against UAB in the finals of the conference, all the money showed on UAB. I was stunned because I thought FAU, and of course FAU beat them.
Yeah.
So I think FAU is a team maybe to watch out for. But, you know, Memphis, that's another team. Got a lot of talent. They looked pretty good the other day, too.
So the two biggest themes of this tournament, I think I said this yesterday. Maybe I didn't, but I think I tried to articulate, which is, one, you have a lot of the really good teams. You have question marks with injuries. Houston with Sasser. Kansas with McCullough. Obviously, UCLA with Clark, which is a huge loss for them. We'll see how it manifests.
How about Alabama, too?
Alabama, you know, of course.
Not an injury.
Right. But, you know. But then you have, and so that's the one big theme of this tournament, I think. And then there's the 12, 13, 14s, where if you look at those point spreads, the 3-14s, the 4-13s, and the 5-12s, if you look at those point spreads, averaging out, they are smaller than they've ever been before. And I almost wonder if that sentiment is the pendulum swinging too much on some of these. So, you know, like Purdue, the way that the regions are weighted, Purdue, who everybody, there's like nobody who thinks they're going far. I've got them in the Final Four because I almost feel like I'm a contrarian with them as a number one.
I said it yesterday when the brackets, I had a chance to look at it. They have the easiest path.
Well, that's the thing. That East, getting back to Memphis, and what you were talking about, the Memphis-Florida Atlantic game, Purdue, who we all assume is going to get by the winner of Texas Southern and Fairleigh Dickinson in the play-in, they're going to play the winner of Memphis-Florida Atlantic. My whole thing with Purdue is, that's the game that will decide whether they get to the Final Four. If they get by that game, the winner of Memphis FAU, I think they're in the Final Four. You could say the same thing about Memphis themselves. If they get by Florida Atlantic and Purdue, they might go to the Final Four. And Will Hill, I don't want to give away too much on the podcast, but just to let you know that you should listen to the Beating the Book podcast on this, Will Hill's got FAU going to the Final Four.
Really? Okay.
So anything can happen in that.
Yeah,
in that
well,
region.
Like I said, we open the game, pick them. You know, not to disrespect Memphis, because I think Anthony Hardaway has gotten way too much criticism of his coaching. Mm-hmm. So I think the team is very, very good. But FAU, I've just had my eye on them for a while, because I had them when I did our future book from early in the year. I didn't name FAU. I had them in the field.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm looking, this field thing is kind of, they got at least one team in there that I think can really make some noise in the tournament.
They're 31-3 on the season, Conference USA tourney champs. So what was the move on that game again?
Well, we opened pick. We're up to two.
We're
up to Memphis,
on
two.
On Memphis, minus two.
Yeah, but I think FAU, and by the way, you talked a little bit about Purdue. I would say this, and this is what I love about the tournament. I did the show with, me and Vinny went on with Wes Reynolds and Ben on Sunday night.
The great Ben Wilson.
Yeah, that was good. But Ben, you know, Wes remembered, you know, 1 year Duke was like a 46-point favorite in the first round.
I remember
those
days.
Now we're looking at 21s. It's like, wow, that's a pretty big number.
I want to say they played Howard 1 year. And
you know, Wes remembered it. Wes has a great knowledge of that stuff.
But, yeah, they used to be routinely favored by like 31, 32.
Oh, yeah, 30s.
And they'd cover.
Oh, yeah, they blast them out easily. Yeah, we don't see those anymore. Maybe the pendulum has swung back the other way a little too much. I can tell you right now, one of the earlier moves was against Kansas. Who are they playing?
Kansas got Howard.
They got Howard. The money's showing back on Kansas.
I was going to say, really a steam on Howard?
Early on, yeah. Now it's back to the other way.
Yeah.
You know.
I love you, Howard Bison. I do.
Yeah, Kansas is really good. I mean, I guess Self will be back as the coach, and I'm not sure how much that means. The other guy's been there 20 years that was coaching him. I'm not sure that means anything against Howard. It may have swung back the other way. Anyway, let me, real quick, because I know we don't have a lot of time. Some money showed for Michigan State, which I said on the air the other day, the phoniest team every March. Oh, gets over bet because Bettine Cleaves won the championship, what was that, like 100 years ago or
feels
something?
Feels like it.
Yeah, so they're waiting for Izzo every year. Oh, this okay.
January, February, Izzo.
Kennesaw State, we opened 14, we're down to 11.5. And Montana State, opened 10.5, we're down to 8.5.
Thank you, Chrissy. Here's your pro tip, by the way.
Kansas State against Montana State. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Pro tip, tied in the loss column with the Celtics, and with Joel Embiid playing so well, consider a bet on the Sixers to win the Atlantic 4-1 or longer. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do it every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Thank you, Chrissy. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, everybody downstairs. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.